now, calling in from, are you in Pennsylvania, Coach?
Yes, I am. I'm all in right. Chester County.
Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning head coach of the St. Louis Rams, Super Bowl 34, and is joining us now. You can follow him, and we're going to have to talk about this before you go now, at Vermeil Wine. So two great loves in coaches, life, football and wine. He knocked the football out of the way, and he got into the good stuff, into wine, and I can understand that, Coach, because I played football for 12 years, and now I own a brewery. So we're like kindred spirits, you. Coach, you know?
Good for you, yeah.
So, Coach, 15 years in the NFL, leading the Rams to Super Bowl 34, and obviously for fans everywhere as we kind of get closer to the possibility of a Super Bowl coming into this NFC Championship. The New Orleans Saints talked on and on and on about the importance of the one seed, of the home field advantage, and we just talked to Coach Billick, who had to go on the road, but you guys were the number one seed going into that season, and talk a little bit about the home field advantage in a playoff game when you get into these conference championships where the teams are so closely matched in ability.
Well, you know, you get there because you're a good football team. You've been well coached, and normally you've stayed injury free, and so you feel pretty good about it. Now you get it to play the game, and if you're playing at home, over the years you usually figure that's about a 3.5 point positive contribution to the home team. And I think there are certain stadiums where it's just a little bit more, like playing in your dome in New Orleans. I think it's probably more like a 5-point advantage. But at the same time, it's not an advantage if you don't take advantage of it. And so far, like New Orleans did the other day, like Drew Brees did and the coach did, they took advantage of that favored, you know, whatever it might be, 3 or 5 point favorite.
Right.
They took advantage of it.
Now, Coach Vermeil, you know, fans ask me all the time about as far as the coaching profession, and always say, well, you got to be willing to burn the midnight oil, so to speak. And you look
no
at
question.
Your past experiences, is it like at least a 70 to 80 hour type week? Just describe that for the fans and what it takes, because you want to dot the I's, cross the T's, and all the details when you have the parity in the NFL especially.
Well, I say this, it's dependent upon the head coach and the staff. It's dependent on years of experience. I think the longer you've done it, the little more discipline you get in your routine and how you go about it, it shortens a few hours, but it's still an 18-hour day at minimum, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. And you can make it longer. I did. That was a mistake, because you become less efficient because you're trying to work when you're exhausted and you just don't think like you should. I made that mistake once. I didn't make it the second time coming around. But it takes a long, long time to prepare a team properly.
Now, Coach Vermeil, obviously, when you go to the Super Bowl, you want to win it. And obviously, you've been there, and then you didn't have success. Then you won it with the Rams in Atlanta against the Tennessee Titans. But when you look at that first Super Bowl against the Raiders in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, when you reflect back, were you just like ecstatic that you were there, or just talk about the emotions that you felt that you're so close, but then you're so far, because isn't it a case in point that they only remember the champion, even though you might have had
no
a
question.
Great season to get to the Super Bowl?
You know, when we lost a Super Bowl in 1980, and from then on, then I went into broadcasting and I did a lot of speaking engagement. No one ever introduced me as a Super Bowl losing coach. I go back into coaching 14 years later, 3 years later, we win one. Now every time I go somewhere, I'm introduced as a Super Bowl winning coach. Okay, there's a huge difference. I'll tell you this, Bobby, it takes the same thing to get there and lose as it does to get there and win.
Right.
You've got to get there.
Coach Vermeil, you have an interesting distinction as one of, I would imagine, the only coaches in history to be named Coach of the Year at four levels, the high school, junior college, the NCAA, and professional football, which I think is really interesting. And I would imagine that each one of those levels kind of taught you something different about your players, the psyche of players that ultimately led you to becoming a Super Bowl winning head coach?
Well, you know, I learned something from every level. High school, God, I learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot from coaching high school swimming, working with the individual player. I learned how hard they can work. You know, swimmers that really compete on a national level work a lot harder than football players. They just don't get hit in the mouth. They don't get tackled and sacked, you know. But they put in the physical strain to become a great swimmer and compete at the highest level. It's unbelievable work. And I learned a lot about how hard you can work somebody and how much time it takes to recover physically and get ready to go again. And so all those experiences, junior college was a good experience for me. I was an assistant 1 year, then a head coach the next, then I went into, you know, Division I football at Stanford and UCLA. Of course, UCLA was the head coach. That's another level again. Now you got your coaching kids from 18 to 21. You know, they get the NFL, you're coaching kids from 22 to 38 to 40. You know, but right. What helped me is I think it really helped me in terms of evaluation of personnel. If you're going to draft or sign, because I've seen kids compete and move athletically at all age groups, and you can see the maturity of the movement and the skills. And I thought it always gave me a little extra depth in my evaluation process.
Coach Vermeil, could you stick with us through a quick break here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. More with Coach Dick Vermeil when we return here on the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Bobby and I are joined by, and we'll say it for you again, Coach, Super Bowl winning head coach Dick Vermeil. Coach,
living legend.
Living legend, absolutely. A few years ago, Coach, you bought in a small percentage stake in the Philadelphia Soul, and you cited at the time that you were reinvesting in Ron Jaworski and after everything that he had given to you as a player. But you're also in that ownership group with two of my former teammates, Marcus Colston and Jahri Evans. So I'm just curious how the involvement has been in the Arena League.
Well, you know, Marcus Colston really brings a lot of expertise to it. Really an impressive young man. No matter, you know, no, it's no wonder he was a fine player for you guys down there. But, you know, we're struggling. We're rebuilding the league as we speak. Where new owners are going to be introduced here soon. And new owners that can come in that have the financial wherewithal to stay in business as we build it. For example, Albany came in last year, and by gosh, who is it? Hearst from Hearst Newspapers. Okay, I think they got a few bucks. And they aren't worried if all of a sudden they are in the red one season, you know. And in fact, I think they made money their first year, so it's wonderful. But we're bringing in a couple more, maybe three more this year to start the season. Should be announced within a month or so. And that's going to help us. But instead of just loading it up with people that like to be in the business, with people that can't really afford it over the long haul, we're not going that way. We're staying small and gradually getting bigger with people with the wherewithal to hang with us and let it build like they have here in Philadelphia with Jaworski's leadership.
Now, Coach Vermeil, two-part question. I'm going to ask you the first, the different topic, but you bring up Marcus Colston, and I wanted to reflect on old-school Harold Carmichael. When you look at a big receiver from Southern University in Louisiana, how would he fit in today's game? I want you to comment on that. And also, I truly believe the fans appreciated that you were a real human being and showed emotion, whether it be a post-game press conference, whatever it might be, that I always take the approach that real men cry, that if you truly are living with your heart. Just comment on that.
Well, you know, you are what you are, and it used to really bother me. Yeah, even, hey, just within the last couple of years, I read an article by General Schwarzkopf, and he made the comment. He said, you know, I don't worry about the men that cry. I worry about those that don't. But really, that was just me. But, you know, I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm really very compassionate about the people I do it with. And, you know, I care about them. They cared about me. And fortunately, from time to time, we won some football games. Harold Carmichael is a great example, okay? Just a great example. If he were playing today, he'd be one of the top five receivers in the National Football League. Today, you know, you throw the ball to a receiver when he's covered. In the old day, as you know, Bobby, we looked for separation.
Right.
You know, and we didn't throw the back shoulder throws. That was all materializing and growing as each year went by, and better coaches and more experience and the skilled receivers. And pretty good. Some guy does it, then the next guy does it. I don't know who the first guy was, but someone starts it and it keeps growing. Now, you just soon throw it to a big, tall guy when he's covered. He'll go up and get it.
Yep.
Or if he doesn't get it, he gets a pass interference call. So we didn't want to throw those. We wanted to throw to a separated wide receiver, separated from the defender.
Coach Vermeil, your involvement in the wine industry and Vermeil Wines, I saw a story, and I think it's interesting. It certainly relates to the Saints, but you once promised Morton Anderson that you would give him a bottle of your Bryant Farm or Bryant Family Vineyards cab if he kicked a game-winning field goal versus Oakland,
right.
And the NFL found out about it, and they told you that's a performance-based bonus.
That's true. You know, that's a true story with Bryant Family Vineyards, and lo and behold, he went out there and he kicked it. Morton Anderson is an excellent wine person. I mean, he's in our wine club and one of my best customers. He was just out in the Napa Valley in my tasting room and spent some time. And he really knows what he's talking about. So I knew this. And when he went in to kick, it was only like 35 seconds ago, I said, Morton, you make this, I'll give you a bottle of my Bryant Family. Bryant Family right now out the door at the winery is $550 a bottle. You know, it's $1,000 a bottle more in a restaurant if you can get it. But he knew what it was, and he went and popped it. And I gave it to him. In fact, I gave him two Screaming Eagles when he went in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there we go. Amen.
That's pretty good.
Screaming Eagle is the number one wine in the United States.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's good. I wish I played for Coach Vermeil. Sean never gave me anything. I had the wrong coach draw.
Oh, boy. Well, sometimes you got to break the ice. Sometimes you can't live in the same mold that everybody else did, you know?
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, I learned that better as I went on. If I'd have been more confident and a little more secure, we would have been doing a lot of things in the early 80s, late 70s that they're doing today and think is revolutionizing. You know, I can't tell you how many times I thought about running option read out of the shotgun snap to the running back, because I'd see that defensive end come down as we handed the ball off on a draw going to the right and away from him. And I'd say, geez, you know, I told the quarterback to keep the ball or to read it. We'd go out there, there'd be nobody on him. I thought that many times, Bobby. But
right.
Number one, I didn't want to get my quarterback hurt, you know. And number two, just nobody else did it. And I didn't want to be classified or, oh, who's this college guru coming out, you know.
Right,
and
we ran
option offense. We beat Ohio State, who was the number one team in the country, by running option football. I understood it. I know what it was all about. But I was a little hesitant to bring it into the NFL at that time.
Coach Vermeil, thank you so much for being with us and all the time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Bobby. Always respected your great deal. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Coach Vermeil.